Authority, our Board of Governors special meeting, and we're going to call it to order, and it is at 11:03. Are there any public comments? None that we
did not receive any.
Okay, well, very good. Any modifications to the agenda, board members? None. Okay, we will move forward quickly and just then transitioning to our introduction of guests. We are so honored to have our nationally ranked, world recognized presidents, President Robinson and President Thrasher, to join us as we talk as a board about the vision and of our park, Innovation Park. And probably before I jump into that, I just want to recognize every participating board member for yesterday, the excitement that happened there yesterday. You know, $10.2 million, hand-delivered, big check. Kudos to everybody involved, all of the leadership that we've had over the years. But it was truly a wonderful day for Innovation Park. And it speaks to the future that we know will be bright for the work that we're doing. So kudos to everybody on that. So, again, talking about, you know, the $10.2 million, we thought it a good time to talk about the vision for what we perceive as the park. And part of doing that, we know that our university partners are absolutely key to carrying this message forward. And I know that in a lot of our conversations, we've talked about what do our university partners do? We love to know what our presidents have to say on this. So thank you again, both of you, for agreeing to do this and join us. We know that you'll probably only have just 5 or 10 minutes to spend with us, and we want to honor that. We will accept some questions from the floor, but again, we'll be mindful of the time. And I think if we're following our agenda, President Robinson, you kick us off with the vision for the future of Innovation Park and how you perceive that, sir. And again, welcome.
Well, thank you. I don't know how to refer to you this morning. Chair Moore, Trustee Moore, or...
We got too many hats in this community, you know, what's going on?
well, thank you. And by the way, congratulations on yesterday's announcement. I know how important it is, not only to Innovation Park, but to the community. And by the way, just to put all the cards on the table, you know, I served on this board. I represented FAMU on this board, you know, back in the day, some time ago. So I can appreciate the work and I clearly understand the importance of the work that you're doing. So let me just put it, you know, sort of in the context of research first, and how we have sort of codified that at the university is, you know, some of you know, we're in the midst of our 5-year strategic plan. We have 6 priorities in that plan, and our third priority is entitled High Impact Research, Commercialization, Outreach, and Extension Services. And one of the primary components that we think makes that possible, will continue to make that possible, obviously you have to have good people, but you also have to have good facilities. But you also, in today's world, when it comes to research, you have to have a perspective about, you know, commercialization, taking the research, you know, from the laboratories, from the bench, from the field, you know, into something that, you know, can be beneficial, more beneficial to economic development and enhancing the lives of citizens. We have, like all of us in the state university system, you know, we get analyzed for everything, and space is one of those. And whereas on the one hand, you know, it's been deemed that, you know, we have an excess of space when it comes to teaching, of course, that they counted the closet in my office in doing that. But when it comes to research, we really have, you know, to really increase capacity. We've had one of our best years ever, in fact, the best year ever, where people have been keeping record in terms of garnering extramural research dollars, over $60 million for us. That's a big deal. But in order to sustain that, we're going to have to be able to continue to increase, you know, our research space footprint. And I think Innovation Park is one of those special places that allows that. In fact, you might not know this, but we were, as we were thinking about options for a CLIA certified COVID-19 testing laboratory, we actually looked at, you know, the Centennial Building as one of the places we might put this. So having a research authority with, in particular, having the space, you know, the buildings as well as the property that could be expanded upon. I think it's critical to our future, maintaining and enhancing our status. You know, just a couple of years ago, we were, you know, we elevated to a research two category by the county gate system of nomenclature. There's one other level above that. That's where the FSU is and a few other institutions. But that was a big move for us to sustain that once again, having access to people's space and tools will make that possible. And I really think, you know, places like Innovation Park will be critical to that success, not only for just the research, but to take the research, taking the research to the next level, the commercialization, and so forth. So to me, you are valuable, extremely valuable asset to the community as a whole, but to us in particular, offering, you know, resources in terms of people, place, and potential expansion opportunities for our research plans at the university.
Dr. Robinson, I will add or ask that you add to the conversation around, you know, attraction, business attraction, whether there's an appetite for, when we think about economic development, the attraction of other businesses and the willingness to partner in a P3 type relationship. Is there an interest at the university level to engage so that we
also— Oh, yes. So one of the things that we sort of, you know, reconfigured during my inauguration a couple of years ago was something we call the industry cluster. You're familiar with that. And the industry cluster is where we get, you know, really close and tight with our industry partners around things that, you know, around recruitment, you know, jobs, but also around research. And oftentimes, you know, research can occur in our laboratories, in our laboratories, or in places where, you know, spinoff might occur, like at Innovation Park. And of course, that's one of the things that, you know, we think that moving our research to the next level will be critical for us to do, is to have that capacity to build those types of partnerships. And I do think, you know, that's where we're going to have to move or grow to really demonstrate to those who support us, you know, from the legislature to funding agencies in Washington, that the research we do does make a difference. It's not just the wonderful, you know, intellectual contributions it makes to the journals of X, Y, and Z, but it's translational. And then that's part of been, you know, sort of our history, but it's been sort of realized in a different way. And it is, that's why extension services is a part of this overall research strategy, because most of what we've done as a land grant has been to facilitate, you know, agricultural related, you know, research and development, where ideas and innovations that we learned from our research was translated to people in agriculture. But what people don't realize is that, you know, FAMU is a land grant institution. It's not just that it has a land grant college, and that concept about translational research, you know, applies everywhere. The vast majority of our research grants, including my own, have some sort of real world practical applications, lessons learned, development of models that can be applied to understand, you know, things better and to make better management decisions. So having, you know, partnerships in the private sector to move that from, you know, sort of our research agendas into real world applications is critical.
Thank you. And at this time, Governors, I would ask if you have a couple of questions that we'd want to put out there to President Robinson. If not, then we'll make the transition to President Thrasher. And it looks like Kristen Looks like you want to engage. Good morning. Yes.
Good morning. Good morning, President Robinson. It's good to see you again. I know
good
we
morning.
Were late yesterday.
I
guess putting the car it's on the table for you and I hope the board will forgive me. Y'all all know what a long day we've had. I value our partnership and our work together on this board, as I said last night, and I really was thankful that we were waking up today to come into this meeting, not just with this great accomplishment from all of our partners, and to have our Chair Moore be both one of your trustees and with TCC. I mean, I think you represent both and Innovation Park very well, Madam Chair. The question I had, picking up on the chair's question about the business attraction, this is one of the things that keeps coming up as a theme. It was even asked as a question, the only question from the press yesterday to the secretary during the event. Are high-tech jobs part of the recovery from COVID? And he really focused on biotech. And I think that's something that both universities have a strength in, of course. It's something that Office of Economic Vitality is very focused on with recruitment. And thinking about the land that FAMU has at Innovation Park and wanting to develop those business relationships to support your research, is that something that we should consider working together on as helping support one of those industry clusters? And I don't know if biotech is that industry cluster. I'm glad you mentioned agriculture and extension services, but that is a theme that keeps coming up, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about it.
So yes, the answer to that is yes, Kristen. Most people, when you think about agriculture, most people think in terms of corn, cows, and and that kind of thing. But the reputation that our ag school is actually most known for, has to do with its research and development and things like, viticulture and so forth, where a lot of biotechnology actually takes place. And so those are some natural places for growth on our behalf. If you look at, our school environment, a lot of biotechnology there being done to address environmental issues. And so in our school in our College of Science and Technology and in the biology program, a lot of research in biotechnology there now and over the years. So that's one of the areas that as we think about it, and by the way, as a board member, Trustee Moore can tell you that we have a couple of programs that we want to expand in terms of the PhD level. Biology is one of those, right? And that's primarily would be because of the potential, in biotechnology related research that is supported by so many other places around the university to make it a natural place to go. And so we have, over the years, been doing research there. And as a non-biologist, I've actually dabbled myself, but, I have to stay in my lane when it comes to that. I actually looked at the change in the microbial communities in the Gulf of Mexico as a result of following the BP oil spill and so on and so forth. So that's a whole lot of good research on this campus that's going on in biotechnology.
That's helpful. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You are very welcome, and thank you for that. So as a board, we hear that there is definitely an appetite for looking at the expansion of FAMU as well as partnering, so very good news there. Are there any more questions that we'd want to present to President Robinson while we have
just a quick question, Kim?
Sure. Yes, you're recognized.
President Robinson, I am just really intrigued by the idea that obviously you are a historical land grant college, these agricultural connections, including connections to the extension service. And in terms of what Kristen just raised, jobs for our region, I have really wondered if because of this, of the supply chain disruptions caused by COVID, if there aren't even more food producing opportunities. And those can be extremely high tech. And because it's something I'm interested in, I've read a lot about this, whether it's vertical farms or just a whole lot of ways that don't have anything to do with corn and soybeans, et cetera. It has to do with getting food, actual food that people eat in the local area, produced in the local area. And it's a very high-tech undertaking, potentially, but pushing it out through extension service people just seems like such a potential win to me. So yeah, I just wanted to put that marker down.
Well, thank you. Just a few years ago when we were doing, Imagine Tallahassee, right? You probably remember that. We actually proposed, so one of those sort of high-tech arenas in agriculture, allow for, specialty crops, as they call them. And by the way, I served as, I guess I was the last civilian scientist to serve as science advisor at what's now the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, or NIFA, as it's called now. But anyway, we talked about using some of the facilities on the south side, for hydroponics, aquaponics, et cetera, things that didn't have a huge, footprint, but could produce, sort of specialty crops that could be done easily by members of the community and so forth. We put a proposal together. I don't know what the status of it was because I went off to do something else, but Imagine Tallahassee, I guess they kept going. But anyway, it was a collaboration between our School of Agriculture, our School of Business, our School of Architecture to develop that proposal. So those are the kind of innovations, like you say, you don't have to have the huge footprint of land and the huge use of water and nutrients and all of those kinds of things that could have unintended impacts. But also you could serve a significant need in the community with a fairly limited amount of space. And so we even went one step further in the School of the Environment. I'm going to stop talking here because we had a full operational concept for a facility that would do this, on our campus as well. So anyway, so yes, we've thought about this quite a bit.
Great.
And you've hit an area of interest for the president. So I told him, I said, I know he crosses his legs, then he's really getting that conversation. I think he had crossed them. So there we go. thank you, President Robinson. And Dave, you got one as a follow-up, and then we're going to jump into President Thrasher so we honor the time. So Dave.
Thank you, President Robinson. Again, congratulations on last night. What a win for you and the university. I'm happy for you. Mm-hmm. You mentioned in your comments about part of your strategic plan, I think you said number three was research and commercialization. Mm-hmm. And I really think the announcement we had yesterday with our innovation or incubator lab, it would really support exactly what you're talking about in a big way. I'd like to ask FAMU to consider some financial support for that. I know FSU stepped up, you probably are aware of that, but if we could ask you for consideration, and not asking for an answer today, but to go back and see if there's perhaps a new line item that could come up on your annual budget of support for the lab. $250,000 a year for 10 years sounds nice, but I don't know your numbers, you do, but I do know that the partnership we have and the benefit we can add to aspiring FAMU students is substantial. Mm-hmm. Help would be much appreciated.
Well, we'll take a look at that. I'm not going to make any budgetary commitments with one of my board members who's over the finance committee. but we'll certainly take a look at that. So thank you, David.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again, President Robinson. And President Thrasher, so again, great to have you participate as well. And we'd love to hear a few remarks from you.
Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it. Great to be here. Appreciate it. And always good to be with my good friend, Dr. Robinson. And congratulations, Larry, again, on FAMU being the number one historically black college in America. It's a fantastic work that you've done there. And Kim and all of you all on the board, congratulations on the grant yesterday. That's an amazing number, $10.2 million. Go a long way toward a lot of good research out there. You know, I first of all, just thank all the board members. I see a number of people out there. Obviously, you, Kim, good to see you as always. Dr. Rahr, too. Actually, I saw Dr. Robinson's wife a couple of times where I'm sitting right here. I'm in at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. My wife is in the hospital, so we're doing this from there. But she's come by a couple of times, and even Dr. Robinson, just so you know, brought us a couple of goodies, and I'm very appreciative of that. Thank you. Good to see Kevin Graham. Thank you for being on, and all the great work you do for Florida State. Dr. Eric Holmes also, and Ray Bai. I haven't seen Ray in a while. Good to see you on here, sir. You have an incredible legacy of great work at Florida State. And then my good friend Christian Dozier, who I guess has probably introduced me to all of the things out at Innovation Park when I first got here about 6 years ago, and has been a continual friend of and working with us, all of us, on all of the things that are good about Innovation Park. I love Innovation Park. I'll just leave it at that. I think it's an amazing place. It's the assets out there already, and the future of that place is just phenomenal. You know, I just in terms of overall research, Dr. Robinson mentioned that, you know, that's certainly one of the metrics that we get measured on by the Board of Governors and others. We had a record this year of $250 million in research. Dr. Gary Ostrander, who many of you know, certainly leads that effort, and I couldn't be prouder of that. We're he's doing great work, and we're doing a lot of good things out there. I also talk about our College of Engineering, our joint College of Engineering out there, the FAMU-FSU College of Engineering. As many of you may, I hope you know, we went from, Dr. Robinson, you probably correct me on the numbers, from about 120 to about in the 60s, and we are the second ranked U.S. News and World Report College of Engineering in the state of Florida now. Great work on behalf of all the faculty and the incredible work that's being done out there by our Dean Murray Gibson. And again, another great asset to Innovation Park out there. Just a couple of statistics. Just Florida State, couldn't be proud of the fact that we're, for the second year in a row, one of the top 20 public universities in America. Innovation Park is critical, I think, in the success of that, as particularly as it pertains to research. And the connection between us is obviously very, very strong. Florida State has a great footprint at Innovation Park. I think probably most of you know we occupy 9 of the 17 buildings. We have 12 centers, 5 institutes, 3 departments, and 1 foundation out there. Everybody knows about the Mag Lab and the great work that's being done out there. Whether you're a scientist or otherwise, it's an asset not only to our community, our university, but for the state of Florida and really the country and the world at large, because of all the work that gets done out there by scientists from all over the world. I've been a little bit concerned about the maintenance of the deferred maintenance of the buildings that are out there. So just so for your information, we're going to ask in our legislative budget request this year for $15 million to support deferred maintenance for the Mag Lab. Obviously, the legislature has done that before. In fact, I think when I was in the legislature, we did, I think a number of years ago, about $5 million. And now we need to do a little bit more. And I think the state will respond to that because they see the value, obviously, in the Mag Lab. You know, we have a number of other buildings out there, which you may or may not be as knowledgeable about. The Center for Advanced Power Systems is out there. It's focused on development technology that advances power systems. Among them is the many years we've been working on with the Navy to develop an all-electric ship, which is an interesting concept. We have the Center for Oceanic Atmospheric Studies out there, which is all about modeling what is happening around the world in our oceans and atmosphere as the world undergoes climate change. So that's another great important research facility. We have, in addition to that, the High Performance Materials Institute, which is focused on the development of really of novel materials which will impact all, really all aspects of our lives. And we have an additional interesting place out there, the Institute for Justice Research and Development, which is a significant effort around the trying to reverse, if you will, the incarceration that relates to how to get back to work for individuals who are leaving their prisons. And they're doing an incredible amount of great research out there. So those are just really a few examples of the innovative research that FSU is performing at Innovation Park currently. You know, I don't know a lot about cows and gardening like Dr. Robinson does. I am a country lawyer, but I'd never learned about anything of that. But we do have a golf course out there that's pretty nice. And if you haven't been out there and you play golf, you ought to go out there. We just invested about $15 million with the help of Jack Nicklaus and his son Jack II in renovating what I thought was a very tired golf course. And I think people are finding in the community now, it's a real nice place to go. The golf course simply kind of really brings up the overall impact I think that Innovation Park has and the potential it has for a lot of other commercial things that could benefit our community. Might even have a hotel out there someday. You never know. I'm working with Kevin on that and some other people. Let me just say this. We rely on Innovation Park as an area of excellence for research and obviously other things. And I'd just like to encourage you all as a board to continue to challenge all of us in terms of what we can do to make it better. It's a great asset for our community, for both of our universities, and certainly I think the investments made out there are obviously turned back into great, great assets for the state of Florida. There's so much great work that's been performed out there and continues to be, and we want to continue to collaborate with you all as stakeholders and others and find ways to connect the public infrastructure investments that are being made, actually the future between the Tallahassee Airport and the new gateway. And I think it reflects well on, and will reflect well on, the missions of Florida State, FAMU, and certainly TCC. So I'm bullish on it. As long as I'm here, which will probably be another 6 to 8 months, I'm going to work hard to make sure that we continue the involvement with Innovation Park, and appreciate your partnership in that.
Well, first of all, President Branson, we're not going to let you go. So it can't be 6 or 8 months. No, but thank you so much for sharing the highlights and also the investment that's been made to date and your ongoing commitment to make sure that Innovation Park stays on the radar. Are there questions that our board members would want to present to President Thrasher? Everyone's good. You did a good job then. And Kevin, it looks like you're building a hotel. So we look forward to that update out there as well. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah. President Thrasher, any timelines, any quick updates on the FSU Gateway?
I probably refer to Kevin about that. I haven't, frankly, the last couple of months, hadn't kept up with that as much as I should probably. Kevin does. I know he's involved in it every day.
Sure. As a matter of fact, there was actually a brief update in the blueprint meeting last night. The blueprint team is in the process of interviewing design consultants for the gateway. And I believe that they, as they step through the design process, they anticipate construction starting in 2023. Commissioner Dozier, you may correct me if you remember that differently.
Sorry, Kevin, I thought I was muted. And that sounds right to me. I think there's some other moving parts with Orange Avenue and Spring Hill, but it feels like the new road is on track, and that lines up with what I heard from Autumn on Monday. Madam Chair, I don't know if Dave had any other questions.
No, thank you. Please.
All right. Well, President Thrasher, I gotta say first, best wishes to Jean. I hope she is out of the hospital very soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thinking about both of you. Although I would like to echo our chair's comments and say, you know, you just got to stay with us. I also celebrate any time anyone chooses to take a step back, and you have put in so much of your time and commitment to our community. I'm grateful for that. And I think you've left us, I can't say I think, I know you've left us better than when you joined FSU, and truly appreciate that. I remember distinctly coming in just probably like a whirlwind before you were even officially president. We were sitting in the Alumni Center, the old president's house, walking through everything on Innovation Park. You had given me that time, and you have been a strong champion and committed to this throughout. So there'll be more to say in the future, but I just wanted to take this opportunity.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Kristen, thank you.
This has been fantastic. And Gary Ostrander, really, even we talked about this yesterday, going back to the restructuring, along with Dr. Robinson, we were, the three of us were deep in the details, might have been 8 years ago, no, probably 7 years ago, Ron, doing all of that. So it set the tone for where we are now. And that restructuring really comes home right when you talk about getting maintenance dollars for the 9 buildings that FSU occupies and your property there. I am thrilled to hear that you're going to put in that legislative request. I have to say, I'm thrilled to hear you're going to do it before you leave, because I think that has thematic significance, of course, and I hope the legislature sees the value in that. And I think the timing, along with the funding from the federal government for the incubator, I think it's very good. We're getting our relationship with the state has been improving year in, year out. The question I have for you, and I know you may defer this to Gary or Kevin or others, but you are connected with the business aspect of business growth, development, recruitment as much as anything else. And JMI is another huge achievement in recent years. Now that we have this opportunity for the incubator, is there anything else you want to talk about with retaining talent, with recruiting businesses? And this could come as your perspective as president or from the legislature, or country lawyer, whatever you'd like, but really trying to frame that discussion that the incubator is not just about startups. It's retention, it's attraction of new businesses. Any thoughts you might have would be welcomed.
Well, you guys probably do better than I do on that. I just think it's something we all have to make a priority. I think for, you know, just this is not a criticism of anybody, but having FAMU, TCC, and Florida State in this community is a big engine that drives a lot of the economy of this community. And sometimes I get the feeling that we kind of take it for granted a little bit, and we frankly don't go out and begin to look at possibilities for others to come in here. I think it's something that all of us ought to have a partnership in doing. The community, the city, the county, certainly you all, and the universities ought to be a part of that. I know Larry and I both, I bet he would tell you, and I would tell you this, I'd love to get involved more of that, because I think we want more of our graduates, obviously, to stay in this community. And if we had the kind of businesses here to keep that, it would only have a multiplier effect, frankly, on the value to the community. So I'm all for it. I think we all know that everybody's busy, but we need to kind of focus on making it a priority and asking our local elected officials to not take it for granted. I don't think they are, some of them. I think you've certainly been, Kristen, been a great advocate of that. But I think we need more of those voices out there that can go out and actually talk about the value of this community. It's a tremendous value. When you have 65,000 students that are in higher education in a community like Tallahassee, You've got a lot of talent and a lot of potential talent for this opportunity. So we have the opportunity to stay here. So I just simply say that. I don't have a magic wand. If I did, I'd take away everybody else's magic wand. But I think it's something we ought to focus on and something we ought to give priority to.
I'm going to have to remember that one. That's good. Thank you. The reason why I asked is I think we've made so much progress. I mean, this really was on my mind as I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
I was going to say, ask Larry. Larry knows firsthand the companies that are coming here to recruit our engineering students. They're coming from all over the country.
Yes.
They see that Florida State and FAMU are putting out an incredible product in engineers, and which happen to be one of the highest performing money-wise occupations or professions that there is. We saw that the other day, Larry, from the statistics. So, I mean, there is a huge opportunity. If we could get some of those companies to come in here and actually invest in this this area, it'd be great. It'd be great.
I will sum up the thought I just had, Madam Chair. I know we need to move on by saying, as I developed talking points for yesterday, I remembered one of, I will just say a dean, to be left unnamed, who told me years ago, my top 10 are going somewhere else, Kristen. They're not going to stay here. And I said, fine, I want your next 20. And kind of, we got to start somewhere. We got to stop saying they're just going to go elsewhere. We don't have the jobs. And I think we've gotten better at understanding they could stay. Now it's getting them the jobs and the opportunities to stay. And that's the precipice we're on. So thank you. Thank you both very much. It's very helpful.
We got a lot of lawyers that stay here, but I'm not sure that's a good thing.
You are
diversified.
Trustee Moore, if I could, you also might mention too that we have a joint budget request of $6.5 million for
yes,
the school. So it's on the radar too. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair.
Yes, you're recognized.
I actually put engineering, I said last night that it was first, and Dr. Robinson corrected me second, but you know, that is extraordinary. I mean, we should be singing that. The progress at engineering and that relationship with Innovation Park is huge. So I'm glad you got the joint request. Thank you.
Absolutely. So again, thank you so much to President Thrasher, President Robinson, for spending time with us. Your words of wisdom, your support is absolutely critical to this, the direction that we're moving in, and we certainly would not want to go it alone, and we're not. So thank you for that. And you all can stay, or you all can make that next transition. So President Thrasher, see you later. President Robinson,
see you guys.
Signing off of Zoom.
Okay. Thank you all. Great to see
bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.
So what a great treat, because, you know, we have talked about in the past and it always comes up, what about these universities? So I'm really glad that at the highest level that we had them join us today. So to keep us moving, because we recognize that we are working under time constraints, we are moving to the facilitated board vision discussion. But what I'd add to that is that Ron has already shared with you in advance the mission vision. You all have actually provided feedback on that. I think that that's one that we'll be able to land and just kind of vote on at our next meeting. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time there. I am going to transition us into introduction of our facilitator, and I'll do just a brief intro there and then let Tony take over. So many, and if not all of you, have had the chance to interact with Tony Carbajal, who 20 plus years of managing and consulting experience with trade and professional associations, focusing in on areas like strategic planning and board and staff development, not to mention, you know, the design of innovative leadership systems. So we are very glad that he's joining us today, because he's provided insight at the state level and even at the national level when you think about issues like workforce development, economic development, transportation, infrastructure, which are all important to the work that we're doing. So without any further ado, Tony, I would love for you to take the lead and guide us to the next step.
Madam Chair, thank you so much. So thank you each for allowing me to be here today. I'm not sure that you had a choice anyhow, but I'm going to try and do something crazy and impossible, which is facilitate a meeting over Zoom. I was the only one crazy enough to say yes, that this is a possibility. The good thing is I understand what my role is in this. We have about an hour and a quarter left to talk about vision, and not necessarily a vision statement or a mission statement, but what do we do to focus on the future, and how do we get to where we want to be? But first, I guess we got to define where we want to be. The role that I'll play, I'm not the content expert on this. As a matter of fact, there's an advantage that I don't know everything that you all know about this. So I may ask only a question just to clarify to make sure that I understand next steps. My job, though, is to make sure that everybody gets engaged. So I'm not going to apologize, but I will kind of flag for you that about every 15, 20, 30 minutes, I'm going to make sure that everybody has participated in whatever the conversation has been. And I apologize for the informality if I call you by your first names. It's an unusual kind of board that doesn't have a lot of repeated names, so it'll be easy. But if, for example, I haven't heard Ray in a little while, Dr. Bai, I'll reach out to you and say, Ray, what do you think about what's this conversation? And your comments can be brief, but I just want to make sure that we focus, get input from everybody. We're not going to walk through the SWOT page by page, line by line. We're not even going to revisit the vision and mission more than just to kind of summarize that, you know, this is about working with multiple audiences. This is about fostering startup growth and attraction and being an economic driver and engaging the spaces that we have and collaborating to achieve some goals and missions. So here's what success looks like as far as I'm concerned. This conversation is about a focus on the future. Some of you may need to at times give a very brief history of where we came from, but I'm hoping that that will allow you to go very quickly into, you mentioned this because what's coming next matters in this process. Some of the questions that as Kim and Ron and I talked through that might be worth discussing over the next hour and now 12 minutes is what must we do to realize the mission, vision, purpose, and objectives? Not the task level, not the assignments, but, you know, at the very high level, what are the gaps that need to be addressed? For example, what resources or assets do we have or need or deploy differently, or to use some of the terms that Dr. Robinson mentioned, the people, the spaces, the tools, and the partnerships that are required for us to achieve and leap forward into the next 5 to 10 years? What are the insights that are required, whether that's marketing or research or some other level, policies and sustainability. When I look through the SWOT, I noticed that, you know, the organization is in a good spot right now, but are you sustainable? Is the path and the processes what you need to get to the next level? And then there are questions probably that need to be resolved. And for example, are we more than about the land that we have? Or now that there's the major announcement this week, what do we do when we only have 10 acres left? Or what are the tables that we need to be at? Or who are the partners that we need to be with driving or following or engaged with? How do we intersect with the regional assets like the airport? And what is our focus as an organization? Is it landlord? Is it facility? Is it service, processes, or partners? So all of those are very, very high level, and hopefully that's the most I'm going to talk on this particular call. But before, maybe my first question will be, is there something else that needs to be prioritized as a conversation for the next hour? Did the presidents say anything that caused either concern or inspiration, things that we need to kind of pivot from?
Hearing their joint commitment expressed and reinforced was just great. I mean, it's great energy moving forward. Ray, looks like you have a comment.
Ray, you're muted, by the way. Thank you.
Sorry, I'm a little slow. Sorry. The one thing that I observed in the comments from both the presidents are the two requests they've got for deferred maintenance to the legislature. And our problem, Tony, is we don't have such an opportunity. And we've got a terrible deferred maintenance problem. So I think generating and garnering resources to deal with our deferred maintenance problem is one of the immediate problems we've got staring us in the face.
Barry, I appreciate you saying that. I noticed that aging facilities was one of the things that was highlighted, and cash flow, whether those are private dollars or grants, is another item. Do you think can you envision a sustainable path forward, or do you have suggestions?
You know, that I don't really see a sustainable path forward that is worth discussing right now. I think we'll all get to that a little bit later. The one thing that I think we are going to have to get to, and it's not really on this subject per se, but is the idea of, we're down with the incubation facility grant yesterday, down to roughly 10 acres of property left within Innovation Park that's basically undeveloped. Somebody needs to check my number on that, but we're getting down to a small amount of property. And so long-term visions and strong partnerships with the university for additional building and additional partnerships here in the park are really not going to be possible with our existing space limitations. So I think somehow we've got to look at that problem and look at that opportunity and figure out a way to move forward from there, because I think we're running up right up against a wall very shortly.
Thank you, Ray. I do think that Kim and Ron mentioned that before, that 10 acres is about right of what's left. So if that's all you've got, then what are you beyond land? I mean, how do you jump to the next level, or what do you need to do? Kevin? Yes, sir.
So I'm super excited about the incubator, and I think that that's going to be a huge opportunity for Innovation Park, for the LCRDA. There is a side of this conversation that relates to what do we do on the land that we have left. There's another side of the conversation in the way I look at it, and I'm wearing my real estate hat when I talk about this, which is creating the destination. There are things that we need to be focused on long term that occur inside the park, that occur around the park, that occur inside of our broader community, that drive interest and intrigue to what it is that is Innovation Park. We have an opportunity. There's the airport is working on some long-term planning and vision. We have an opportunity through Blueprint to develop new infrastructure that ties together all of the major assets on the south and southwest side of Tallahassee. President Thrasher mentioned the 65,000 college students that are part of our community, and what an opportunity that is. When we look at this geographic area and we think about what is it that we can do at Innovation Park that creates the destination, that causes people, regardless of what their professional discipline is, or whether they're a college student or a high school student or K-12, or if it's people that are visiting Tallahassee or whatever that might be, what is it that we can do that drives that level of interest and intrigue in Innovation Park and causes people to want to be there? When we create that atmosphere well, and we have three or 4,000 different scientists that are converging on this area every single day, we will create an area where they want to be, and they will do great things. I don't think it's our job necessarily to do the great things. We need to create the atmosphere where they will do the great things. And how do we get there? There's a soft element to that. President Thrasher talked about FSU's investment in a golf course. Okay, the golf course and Innovation Park don't necessarily have a direct connect, but it is another reason why people want to be in this area. And then we've recently finished the trail network. Ron spent a lot of time working on creating a place where people want to get out and walk around inside of our area. It's kind of a food desert out here. We need some facilities where people will congregate. People will stay here and make this their destination. When we do these soft things well, it creates the opportunity for the professional community, the research community, the doctoral community come to this area to do their business, and more things will grow out of that.
Kevin, thank you. I noticed some of those comments in the SWOT analysis that, you know, it's not just about the cluster of science, it's the cluster of the environment. And what I heard you say, if I'm not mistaken, is that there are things within your control as well as beside your control and outside of your control that really beg the question of who do we partner with to achieve that bigger ecosystem success, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And Tony, looks like we have Eric that wants to speak as well.
Thank you, Eric. We're there.
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity. I think relative to the deferred maintenance and the cash flow issues, there's some important opportunities, but also some work to be done relative to that. It's never going to be the case where rental monies are going to be able to provide enough extra cash flow in order to do some substantial work relative to the deferred maintenance. So best we can do is to try and keep up and keep our heads above water. So I think that relative to the new incubator, which is now a reality, it's important, absolutely critical, to do two things: do it right and soon. Mm-hmm. And so the faster we can get moving on this project, the better appearance it will be relative to LCRDA and Innovation Park as a whole. Now, it's been my observation and experience, I think, of the board, is that a lot of the land that has been within LCRDA's control, we've been asked to essentially give it away for all intents and purposes without a lot of income potential associated with that. Now, you can argue whether that's a good idea or a bad idea, but in doing so, it addresses the purpose of the authority to try and do things to foster growth, future jobs, and so forth. So there are going to be the community and the state and the individual businesses themselves will get significant benefit from that. So in a sense, somehow, and I think the success with the funding from the incubator can be leveraged to point out that it is appropriate for there to be some kind of a quid pro quo, that LCRDA is doing its business, but it's running up headlong into a brick wall of needs for deferred maintenance and so forth. So where this is leading is it would be useful, I think, for all the community partners, the city, county, the universities, everybody else, community partners, companies, to get behind in a unified way, some kind of an ask, perhaps for the state, perhaps for local and city entities, but I think more likely the state, to get some real deferred money. Since it is, LCRDA is a state agency, it really ultimately falls to their shoulders and behooves them to make sure that this is a functional and operationally significant entity among its buildings and so forth. So in time, and perhaps in concert with development of the incubator, it would be good to get the legwork done to make an ask to the state, not this year probably, but in subsequent years, to get some of that money hardened in to be able to address these issues that otherwise, again, you're just going to be running into a brick wall.
I'm going to try and bridge the conversations. And Dr. Freidestroud, I'll mention that I saw you shaking your head, so I might come to you after this, not because you have to respond to what I say, but just to hear what you were excited about. But there's maintenance issues, there's cash flows questions, there's things within your control, outside of your control, there's an asset that you have, which is the incubator. And by the way, the SWOT analysis clearly says you have the talent and experience in these to leverage those things. But how do we bridge bringing people together? Are you the driver in those conversations, or are you the convener? Do you follow the lead of others? I think that was one of the open questions that I had, and I'm not to put you on the spot, Eric, but you mentioned that driving some of these questions is. Do you view that your role is leading that process, or helping that process. I'm not sure if that's even a big distinction, but.
Yeah, well, I guess the issue initially where I'm coming from is recognize the need and what the potential areas of ability to address that need are. Again, I say rent and property rights and so forth have not proved a way to be meaningful in terms of a larger issue relative to building maintenance and things of that nature. So we're going to need some help. So how do you get that help? Now, the beneficiaries of the assets that LCRDA has logically would be driven, should be driven, or the finger pointed at them to be able to help that. And so if the purpose of LCRDA is, and there is some success in doing, to create an atmosphere where there's potential new jobs, economic growth, and so forth, that's going to create a cash flow elsewhere. That I'm just simply suggesting that some of that should kind of come back to LCRDA in order to address the building issues that we will have and which will only be increasing with time. So how to do that? I'm not suggesting I have an answer to that. I think it's going to be a multi-pronged effort. It's going to have to be a bunch of different people and groups saying, yeah, it is a reasonable request. And after all, it is a state asset. The state would be well advised to maintain its value there.
Great. Thank you.
Tony?
Yes, Anne.
Hey, nice to meet you. I've heard very, very nice things about you. I'm glad to have you here today.
Thank you.
I want to kind of put those two things together, what Eric said and what Kevin was saying. I think, and I thought this from the beginning, that creating a place, the sense of place, the draw is still really job one. And it doesn't mean that all this other stuff that we have to do is irrelevant. It's not. And obviously being fiscally sound is also right at the top of the list. But I would say for the first time, I see everything coming together potentially to really take Innovation Park away from being this isolated thing out there and putting it really into the center of something that's something good that's happening in Tallahassee. And if that eventually then gets you to the point where you can charge rents that are something more like market and maybe even, you know, above that, a place where people really want to be, a place that even has the attention of the Florida legislature because maybe they come out here during session every year because it's such a wonderful place. I think we'll get there. I think we'll get there.
Thank you. Shanta, are you excited still to talk? Or?
Oh, well, no, I was just, somewhat echoing what Eric said about like deferred maintenance and how it's not the sexy place to spend money, but if you don't do it, then having this, you know, beautiful place to come to will never come to fruition, right? Because you could put, you can put a facade over it, but, you know, when it really starts to try to attract businesses, especially high-tech businesses, then all of those things will be impediments. And so, however, you know, we think about that, that has to be prioritized. I know from the state side that over the years, PICO dollars for deferred maintenance have pretty much dried up. I don't know what that process would look like going as an authority to the state for that. I don't know if there would be a different appetite for that. But honestly, like that may, you know, as I think about it from a university perspective, putting in a legislative budget request like that may need to be the budget request coming from the LCRDA for deferred maintenance. Because if not, this great asset in another, you know, decade or so or will not, the same value won't be there. So
clearly if the asset
and I can say we have been in Chair Moore and your other hat, you've seen that on our side, right? And so if we can take any learning lessons from what we deal with, if as a board we don't think about that now and really have some game plan in place, you'll be in a position of having to tear down buildings sooner than you know. So just when Eric started talking about that, that just was like, it resonates here. So yep. Not that I was just dying to say that, but
since
you saw my gyrations, that's why I usually stay off camera so people can't see my gyrations. But anyway,
reinforcing at the beginning is important. I hear the importance of the asset. And as a matter of fact, even if you had great talent and many of the other strengths, if your asset degrades, you will still lose the ability
And I will tell you, like, we created a facilities management program for that reason. And a lot of people say, oh, well, why do you have a facilities management program like in the business school? Well, I say if you liken facilities management to what personnel was to now what strategic human resource management is, right? If you look on the balance sheet of any organization, the bulk of their assets are sitting in their facilities. Right. And so that whole built environment, how you manage it, how you strategically leverage it, all of those things are really, they need to be more on the front or the top side of management, not thinking about it from just the HVAC or the maintenance side. So that's why I say it's like the maintenance and facilities management, maintenance and HVAC is what personnel was to HR now, right? And so again, another reason why maybe I had my extra gyrations is because when we started our facilities management program at the undergraduate level here in the School of Business and Industry, the School of Architecture and Engineering Technology has it at the graduate level. We partner because of that. But again, we could be talking about, you know, it's great that we're bringing in money for programming and all of that, but if your facilities are not maintained to keep pace with what's needed or what's coming down the pike, we'll still be sitting in a situation saying, okay, well, we'll be in a different situation because now we won't say we have this great asset. We'll be saying, well, how do we, you know, improve the asset?
Yeah. So what Ms. Longman did was a great example of what you should do, which is just go ahead and jump in. And that makes my facilitation so much easier. I can't see if hands are raised. I'm trying to watch all this. Commissioner, I see you. Kristen?
Right. Okay, I love the first names. I'm just going to drop the rest. I'm going to follow your lead here, Tony. Kim, did you say someone else was in line before me?
Yeah, Eric's had his virtual hand up for a while.
Okay, for it.
Well, I can't see those, Kim. If you'll just let me know, I'll be
here. I sure will. Thanks.
Okay, I just want to say something really quick. Although it may seem like Shante and I have a tag team thing going on here, I'll try and keep it brief and avoid doing that. But I just wanted to make a point or reinforce a point that I had made. And Shante brings up the notion of going to the legislature for funds and how that might look like, how that might happen, or even if it's even possible or appropriate. I haven't got an answer to that. The thing I want to say is that LCARDA was birthed with some assets. Much of that was vacant land. And it appears in recent days, at least in years, that those assets can be deployed in a logical way with companies that ultimately, in the reality of the situation, is does not lead to much, if any, income for LCRDA. So essentially what is happening, the appearance is that it's giving away its assets for no apparent gain. The apparent gain is actually down the road in kind of a obscure way, additional jobs, additional tax base, additional revenues from those sorts of things that would come somewhere, obviously not LCRDA. I'm simply saying it is certainly justifiable to figure out a way to divert some of that gain back into the hands of LCRDA to address these sorts of things. So whether it's a city, county, state, doesn't really matter. Somebody's getting some benefit from LCRDA's existence and efforts, and that needs to be shared in some creative way, perhaps, with LCRDA to address these things. So that's my real point.
Thank you. Kristen, how about we come to you now?
Okay, well, I'm glad Eric jumped back in first. I'm looking at my notes here. All of you know I take a lot of notes, but I like it better when I can read them all at the end. So this conversation, I really am going to start with the deferred maintenance. And I heard your point. I think I'm finally at that time where I don't have to talk about history as much. I'm sure you're all going to celebrate that. We know it, but it's also been 10 years. I mean, I truly am feeling like we've hit this big, we've reached the hilltop. I'm not going to say it's the mountaintop. We've reached the hilltop. We've been climbing for a long time, right, Ron? And Dave and every one of you. But now it's, okay, what's the next step? One of the things that came to mind, and we've talked about this for years, but we are at that transition from talking about what we will do to talking about what we're doing and how to make that grow. And while a lot of people get the potential, we wouldn't be here if we didn't, have a whole bunch of people who understood the potential of the park. We have not fully told that story about what we are doing and what the growth potential and what the impact is on our community, city, county, and region. So I think a legislative request, city, county, our business community, whatever it might be, it can take on a different tone now, a different emphasis. And it's not just because the grant, but that's a huge piece of it. It also is all the programs, everything else. So how to get that done, just kind of digesting the comments, and all of you made great suggestions. I'm going to start where Eric, you were, that I think a legislative request planning now for 2022 is not too early. This is when we got to start. And so I think having this as a strategic priority for the next year would be a very good thing. It gives us some recognition of where the budget is on the state end, how we're going to recover, I'm going to put it in that way, from COVID, and what type of requests we might be looking for. Disaster supplemental funds, a true emphasis on job creation, I think, is going to benefit us. But also, I will say, just with the Secretary of Commerce from Florida, Swell, did I say it right there, Kim? I was practicing.
Sowell, like how?
Sowell, yes. Secretary Sowell and others, we have a better relationship with DEO, with Enterprise Florida, with some of our state partners than we've had in a long time. So wrapping that together, Tony, I would say, and for everyone, I don't believe we're going to qualify for PICO dollars. Now, Shante, it was a good point, but it might actually benefit us that we're not in that churn fighting for limited dollars. Yeah. We may need to go in different directions. But now I'm gonna transition here, and I'm gonna try to bring a smile to your face. So let's see if I can do this right. Okay. So I thought about getting that banner for you guys today. And when I was having some fun looking through my Zoom backgrounds last night, I actually found that one. Might have been because I was in the blueprint meeting for 6.5 hours.
That's scary.
Okay, I also found that one, but we don't have to use that one. So I'm gonna go back to I'm making Ron crack up here, okay. My point with the other one is, with Game of Thrones, I'm going to take that off now. I'll bring my congratulations back up for you later. Is that we have been working extremely hard to be part of, and we are a critical part of the ecosystem, the entrepreneurial ecosystem and the business recruitment, the economic development ecosystem in this community. last night at the meeting, I'm just going to highlight one thing, which is Keith, SBDC, when I heard Daryl Jones talking about our minority women program and the relationship with SBDC and what you're doing, to me, this is a sign of success going from when years ago we were all in our silos, right? On the other hand, to be blunt, when Christina mentioned that we got $10.2 million yesterday, I was the only person to comment on it. The only one. Now, we had a lot of other things going on, but just using that as an example, we need to take control of that messaging. And so I'm gonna leave it here, Madam Chair. Kim, I've been trying to wrap these things in. There was a time when we had a Southern Strategy Sector Report. This is 20 years ago for land use. We've done visioning through Blueprint for the new road. We've worked with the neighborhoods, all driven by other organizations. What if we led a visioning for the park and for our general region that included the roads, that included how we're gonna do business recruitment, how we're gonna work with the airport on their planning, our 18 acres down on Eisenhower. We have a railroad spur that is only one of two in Leon County, right next to the park, and we have the airport. We have assets we've never talked about. And I'm gonna leave it there, Tony, but those are the two ideas, a 2022 legislative request, working with DEO specifically and others, and possibly doing our own visioning, because we need to have that conversation. Thank you.
So Tom, I have you next. And then Keith, if you don't mind, I'll come to you next unless somebody jumps in on the conversation. But Tom?
Yeah. Can I introduce Tom before he gets started here? Because some of you may not know about this yet. I just want to mention that Tom's appointment to the board was officially confirmed this week. And for those of you, I think most of you may know that Tom previously served on the board. So we're really happy to have him back with us. And go for it, Tom. Thank you.
Well, that's okay, great.
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad to be back. It sounds like we still talk about the same things, which is good. I'm pretty cold, but I'm so excited about the incubator. I mean, I really think this is a game changer for us. In the funding, is the funding that we received just for construction, or did we have any O&M for that operation and maintenance carry costs basically for that facility once built?
No, I mean, if I can answer that question, the answer is no, we don't. And that's on the agenda for this intervening period of time when we're building the thing, but it's also part of the ask that Dave made directly to President Robinson, is to have that kind of funding source that can help us going forward.
Okay, cool.
Thanks, Tom. So Keith, your insights, I'll summarize after you what I've heard so far, and then Dave, I'll come to you if you don't mind.
Thanks. Well, my insights are that I think that some of the comments that I'm hearing sort of point to what the community's perception of Innovation Park is throughout its history. It has been viewed by some segments of the community as an exclusionary destination for high-tech jobs, and not everyone saw their involvement. And I think that's a reflection of what Kristen is mentioning, where the community at large really doesn't buy in or feel that they have a stake in what takes place at the park. I just think that, we're sort of viewed as an insular organization. We make strategic alliances that obviously further our mission. But one of the things that I think where we may be able to enhance our stature in the community is communicating that message as to how this sort of the things that take place at Innovation Park easily weave into economic development, especially with us being located on the south side, where you have a predominantly minority population there. And with us being, you know, with that minority population being in the shadows of Innovation Park, you know, how do we tie in and communicate the value proposition of Innovation Park to various segments of the community, especially the ones that are within a stone's throw of where we are physically? Because even though we're right, we abut right up to the Providence community, there are people in the Providence community that feel that we are 1,000 miles away from their day-to-day concerns and what moves their needle on an individual level.
Thank you. David, I'm going to come to you next, but if you'll give me a second to see if I'm capturing the notions right. Kristen, you used a term that kind of got me thinking about how to categorize these, where we came from, where we are, and what's next to some degree. And where we came from is all about the asset, and that's the land, the buildings, the structures that we've got in place, and the financing structure. And Tom, I'm sure that you remember the conversations were maybe less jovial than they are today with the celebrations in the past. But where we are now is how do we leverage what we've made investments to? But we can't ignore that we have to maintain the asset. It's aging, we've got to make sure that it moves forward. So what we're doing now is leveraging this with the incubator, with the staffing, and leveraging our role as part of the ecosystem. Where we're going, if I'm not mistaken, what I heard a few of you mention, whether it's Kevin's conversation about being a destination and being a significant part of the place, or even Keith, with what you were just mentioning, being that catalyst for the communities that we're abutted to, or even just being central to the vision of the community going forward. And I think Kristen and a few others mentioned that this has got to entail messaging, marketing, and being part of the visioning and the planning. So if we talk about what we start with, which is the asset and the cash flows and those types of things, what we're doing right now is really leveraging the opportunities. What we need to do, it sounds like, is focus on the next steps of place and message. Did I misrepresent anybody's perspective before I go to David? Mr. Ramsey, it is good to see you again. Would you share a few comments? And then Sanjay, I'm not sure if you're available for comments as well, but I see that you're still on. So David, your microphone's muted, just in case.
Okay, I think I'm back on live now.
Yes, sir.
My background causes me to think financially. And boy, one of our biggest concerns is cash flow projections. And if we look at what Ron did for us several meetings back, was project that we'll have negative cash flow here pretty soon. That's before the expenses associated with the incubator are coming aboard. Not only that, but we're also landlocked. We can't expand northeast, south, or west. We have a limited supply of space that can create revenue. All of those kind of come together with, boy, what are we going to do next to create more revenue opportunities? I would ask us to consider that portion of the, I guess I'd call it the concept floor plan that had first floor office space or administrative space, sort of, that above that we put a second floor on and move our headquarters there, freeing up the Collins building so that we can get much more revenue generated from that source. We're going to need every opportunity we can find to create revenue going forward. I'm hoping that FAMU will be able to jump in and support. FSU certainly has. My big concern is where we're going financially.
Okay. Thank you.
Kevin, all right, I'm going to Tony, quick question, or actually comment, that I'd like to share, because it's so interesting hearing everybody's comments, and you're like, okay. So the things that roll around in my head is, started off with Kevin when he talked about the different plans and the partnerships and how to bring this all together and the things that are around us, how do we bring that into one? And I think about, you know, how many plans are related to our partners that we're actually written into, that we're actually a part of, that we're actually at the table. I don't know. And that's a starting point, because if we're not in their plans and they're not in our plans, then we don't exist, they don't exist. The other part of it, and I think a number of you have talked about, was with the messaging, that Kevin talked about the value. Yes, the value, we get it, but do others understand what value we bring to the table? And I think, again, it goes back to communicating that, because perception is reality. We perceive it one way, you ask 10 others, they don't, then that's what's true. I also think about, with the universities, I wonder, and Sante, maybe you can tell me about this, with the donor menu, I wonder if the research part could be included as part of the ask that the foundations make when they're working with their donors, as an extension of the work that you all are doing and the other, I guess, initiatives that you have going on. Would that not be an option to pursue?
And I mean, Eric can maybe chime in on this on the FSU side. Typically, on the donor side for us, if it
could enhance something that you all have, the universities have at the park, that would generate revenue for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like for me right now, the thought is for the College of Engineering. Right. But typically when companies are making donations from that, it's research, but the research is typically with one of the centers or something that's kind of already up and running. Trying to think if there may have been one or two that have talked about adding on to some things, but typically it's building off of an existing center that is operating within the College of Engineering. And then the other piece typically comes in more so in terms of recruitment, and not, which then wouldn't be investing in dollars or facilities. I think the biggest piece would be for, as we start to enhance and grow our commercialization of the items that we're getting patented, I think that's where some of that may would come in going forward. I know we've gotten a few patents within this last year or so, that there's work around trying to commercialize those. But in my mind, that's where it would come from, the donation side. But again, I'm not certain how much that's going to create in the way of revenue generation for the park. And I don't know, Eric, if you have what your thoughts are on that from the FSU side.
No, I would agree that from FSU's perspective, a lot of donors want to provide money for a specific thing that they can physically see, sometimes hold, that sort of thing. But relative to for LCRDA, I think that the nucleus might exist, and it really comes down to the 501c3 approach that I know Ron has been working on. I don't know where that stands right now, but it offers a potential for community, if they see good works, or if they can be convinced of a significant need, might be able to donate some money for certain projects, kind of a same sort of thing, that they could be sponsors particular project or a particular initiative within LCRDA, and doing that without having to set up a formal development office or effort within LCRDA, but at least it'd be a place to start. I think it would be difficult to make a case to a donor that, yes, you should support this FSU LCRDA effort and figure out some way to split the funds. I think that might be kind of difficult.
Kristen, I see your hand up. Anything that you wanted to mention on these items?
Yes, thank you. So something that keeps coming up, we're landlocked, we have 10 acres left. I think we need to expand that a little bit. And Kevin, I'm gonna put you on the spot here a little bit, although I'm not sure you've got any answers you can share with us at this time. We do have the 208 acres that are in the original land lease from the state. Obviously we know the out parcel that is connected, but we rarely talk about the 18 acres we have on Eisenhower. And if you look at a map, and I don't think we need to screenshot this, but when I just pulled up Google Maps, it's actually an image of the golf course under construction. So we kind of may have an idea of when this image was taken. It's all dirt. In between Paul Dirac and Eisenhower Road, my assumption is FSU controls a lot of that property along the power line easement towards the intramural fields, but for the 18 acres that we have on Eisenhower. And I mentioned that as one example, that this kind of visioning process, I think we actually have more than we know. And how do we work with FSU to understand, here's my question, Kevin, what status the master plan is? Do you have plans for that property surrounding that 18 acres? If I'm right, it's in your control. And is there some synergy there? Related to that, I truly understand why Dr. Robinson doesn't want to answer this question right now for us. It's something he's got to work with his board and others. But there are a lot of acreage. I mean, when we say we have 10 left, there's a lot out here that that is in FAMU's control. And could we help get revenue for FAMU or help support one of those recruitment opportunities, you know, related to the industry clusters that would activate some of that property? That goes back to the sense of place so many of you were talking about. So just wanted to highlight those two examples, Tony, is I don't want us to get stuck on only having 10 acres left. That's it. We do have some other things, and I think those are ways to get into that conversation. So I'll leave it there.
Thank you. I don't see another hand raised. And I don't know, Sanjay, if you can.
Yes, I'm here. I'm here. Thank you for the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please.
Okay. So just a little bit. I don't bring in a lot of history. So I'm fairly. This is my second term on this board. So I just wanted to, as I'm listening to everybody's conversation, thank you for all the feedback and then wealth of knowledge that I'm trying to gain from you guys. Now the one thing is when we started this whole session, we wanted to talk about a strategy, vision, mission. But I felt the conversation was very tactical. It is what we need to do right now. But we haven't talked about what we need to be, say, 10 years from now. And I felt the one piece is missing is sustainability, because we talk about land, we talk about we're out of space, we have 18 acre, 10 acre, whatever that might be, right? But we have all these buildings. I don't know, Ron, if it's all occupied. So if you have empty assets that is not being utilized, and we're talking about land and building more buildings, stuff like that, I don't see that as sustainable piece. Now, and again, please excuse me for my lack of history and knowledge. But we need to talk about, we talked about the deferred maintenance, and one I also heard about this topic has been there for a while. So I believe we need to focus on how to be self-sustaining, that we don't have deferred maintenance. How do we attract people to occupy the buildings that we have? So, and then we are self-sustaining. We don't have to yes, we are non-profit. We don't want to make money, but at the same time, we need to maintain our old building with the money, revenue that we generate. And I know Mr. Ramsey over here is quite a few thousand times knowledgeable of finance than I am, but I think there's something that we need to focus on that piece. And again, there's another piece is as a private business point of view that thank you for hosting us in your innovation park. I'm going to talk about Danfoss point of view. But the challenge that we believe on the growth that we have appetite to grow significantly over here is the talent pool. When we look for every level of talent, including even an operator point of view, we're losing the expertise. There's some factories being built in Georgia, and a couple of our key machinist people are leaving and going to those companies. So we're trying to figure out what they're offering that we are not. The commute is one of the things that we hear. It takes longer to come over here. Also, for our manufacturing growth point of view, logistical challenges, big truck routes. And as you know, that we have an appetite to grow significantly. We want to double our business over here. But the one of the challenge we have, the how do you bring those big trucks, the traffic going to go high. And so there's a lot of infrastructure, talent pool. And so this is what I believe that some of the way that if we can incorporate in our vision, mission, and talk a little bit longer term, so that what I felt is missing from our conversation. And again, I apologize if I don't know the history of it, but of course, you guys have been talking about this in past also.
Thank you. I appreciate that insight. And it has been a bit tactical, although I've also heard some long-term items. Eric, I see your hand up, and then I'm going to give a reality check that we have about 20 minutes left after your comments, and I'm not sure how we'll land this, but I'll summarize what I've seen so far, and then you tell me where you want to go, Kim. Eric?
Let me be brief. People have talked about several times about 10 acres, but LCRDA is much more than that. And Sanjay really captured what I want to say, so I don't have to say very much. We have a lot of assets that are existing and maximizing their use and so forth. Just as one very, very small example, and it doesn't occupy a whole lot of square footage, but it made a very, very important community improvement. And that is FSU with TMH setting up a physical lab that is actually doing COVID testing, that is able to provide results in 24 hours or less from the time that the sample was taken. We've achieved a milestone or a goal of 1,000 tests per day, potentially, and we've actually been able to push that to closer to 1,400 or 1,500. I don't think we necessarily do that routinely, but it has made a huge impact on FSU and Ken and throughout the community with TMH and so forth. So that's an example of how on an almost instantaneous basis, we rented that space beginning of July, I think it was, Ron. And here we are 2-3 months later, and we're actively doing up to 1,500 tests per day. So that's really, people don't really appreciate what's all involved there. It is a phenomenal thing. And LCRDA played a role primarily because they had space. So it's actually, as Sanjay says, making optimal use of the space you have that is really a lot of the future.
Thank you. I don't see any other hands up immediately. Is that Kevin? Yes, sir.
So
real live hands. I'm not sure. I wasn't looking for those. I apologize.
No worries. Regardless of whether it's 10 acres or 28 acres or 50 acres or however many that is, the land in the park is in terms of our asset base, it's a diminishing asset. There's a point at which we run out, however long that might be. So it seems to me that there needs to be a philosophical shift. We've talked about it. We've touched on it several different ways. But we need to figure out how to be sustainable beyond a development activity. we can help encourage good development in the park, and we can do really excellent things like the incubator. You know, I for some reason, if this little booklet that we have, there's a page in here that starts the Leon County Research and Development Authority. It says the Leon County Research and Development Authority, LCRDA, is the entity that oversees Innovation Park of Tallahassee, full stop. We have property that is under the control of Innovation Park. We have property that's under the control of FSU. We have property that's under the control of FAMU. They oftentimes operate as individual silos, but we say that the LCRDA is the entity that oversees Innovation Park. And to me, that's a very confused message, because we're not necessarily always doing things in the right collaborative fashion. That doesn't mean that we're fighting each other, but there may not be the appropriate amount of communication towards being focused on the common goal. I think when we figure out ways to reach outside of the four corners of our Innovation Park, and we find ways to draw the broader community in, we do things that, again, we go back to the creating the destination. Why do people want to be here? What are the ways that we can create additional revenue streams or financial support or whatever that might be that causes this to be the economic asset that we desire? There's a point when we, I don't know how to say it other than we will crack the code on this, but it's not going to be by developing our property. That to me feels like it's the short game. We need to figure out the long game. The long game is there's a message, there's a story that we tell, there's putting a spotlight on what the opportunity is inside of Tallahassee. That is Innovation Park. How do we get to that? That to me is the more critical question.
Kristen, I see your hand up, but I'm gonna, Ron, if you could possibly allow me to share, I know I said at the beginning I wasn't gonna share anything, but I changed my mind. Kristen, why don't you go and then I'll share what I have developed here. So.
Thank you, and I saw Ann's hand waving around too.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. Please,
Ann.
No, Kristen, you go first.
Okay, thank you. I will keep this quick. Sanjay, great comments, and the logistical challenges, the talent pool, other things like that. I mentioned the rail spur and the airport, thinking about the strategic site inventory that we did through OEV and things we've done at the Planning Council. There's a lot more tools in our toolkit now for recruitment. I'm not sure we're harnessing that power for Innovation Park to support existing tenants like Danfoss, but also new ones that we could recruit. So I think I just wanted to link those two together. I think that is part of the visioning and part of the assets and tactical approach, just to bring all that together. I think there was a good point just there about we've always talked about this, LCRDA Innovation Park, we now have North Florida Innovation Labs. If we're going to do any kind of name change or redefinition, Naomi's head's going to explode, and so is Ron. But we need to talk about that now, because I think it is still confusing, and LCRDA might just be something we need to retire, that term in general. I'm going to leave it there. Thanks.
Thank you. Anne, I apologize there.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just seeing some things come together in terms of what's being said that I just really agree with. So this idea that Kevin is talking about, a philosophical shift combined with what Kristen has suggested about visioning for our whole area of Leon County and the things that aren't getting talked about that really need to all come together. And it has a lot to do also with what Keith said. we are completely separated from our nearest neighbors. And there has got to be a way to build some bridges there and not walls. And I think that's going to be critical to where we get to eventually.
Anybody's real or virtual hand up? Thank you.
No, so, but a great summary slide.
I apologize that it's as cursory. I wasn't ready to do this, but here's what I'm trying to do is capture the ideas that have been mentioned. And yesterday when I spoke with Kim, I was very concerned what we would be able to accomplish in an hour and such. But thank you for not revisiting history as much as focusing on the future. But what I've noticed is there's conversations around maintaining the assets, dealing with the deferred maintenance and those issues, and clearly the cash flow. And those are almost fundamental. If you don't get the business part right, there's no way to grow in that. But you have a lot of things that are working now in terms of the leveraging. You're playing as part of the ecosystem. Even if you're not the dominant force, you are a force, whether you're fully recognized in that area or not. There's questions about the sustainability, and those are being raised at the moment, somewhat driven because of the land issue, but also the just in general, what's next. And I, if I'm not mistaken, Sanjay added the big question of, you know, what is our competitive situation? Why are people going elsewhere, and how can we shore that up? Because as we're going into the future, the things that seem to be mentioned is we got to improve our place focus, our destination focus, our messaging and our marketing so that we are part of everything that's considered, and making sure that we're a catalyst for the change that we want within the research side, but also in the community side. And it seems like these are some of the things that have been suggested as next steps, you know, looking at legislative dollars or new revenue sources, whether those are from donors or other capacities. Grants, I would imagine, is an assumption already in that. I didn't write it down. Nobody mentioned it, but it was in the clearly your plans. Then the questions of what's the next consideration, you know, thinking beyond the land, what's our philosophical shift if needed? And how do we include those in the visions and the partnership plans? How do we bridge to the communities and are we all at the right tables? Apologies that it's so cursory, but did I miss anybody's key points that they wanted to make sure were captured so that we can use? I know that Ron was hoping to get much more clear blueprint, but this is more like a light blueprint.
Tony, I think you did a great job with capturing our thoughts as we've kind of laid them out there. Would invite any other thoughts on that, but I think you did a great job for the amount of time that you had and just capturing the essence of our conversation.
Yeah, I agree with Kim. I don't know if you heard me blurt that out when you put it up on the screen, but I thought that it, while simplistic, I thought that it was quite comprehensive in capturing you know, what have been discussed, but more importantly, capturing them in buckets that I think then are actionable, especially considering that, you know, this is a strategic planning session. I think it definitely gives us an opportunity to take stock of not only where we are now, but the items that we may want to shape as our future strategic priorities. And then clearly we can put more meat on the bones, but I think they're great bones.
We have about 14 minutes left, and I know nobody turns into a pumpkin at that point, but we do want to respect time in that process. Madam Chair, what do you think the next step is? And before I turn it over to you, I'll mention that in the packet there were also some prioritization sheets that kind of echoed many of the things that were discussed, whether it's the strategic priorities or maximizing the assets or some of the marketing issues. So I'll just say that those are part of the considerations and what's been done here. But what do you need so that you can move to your next step so that I can help you in the next 10 minutes be magical?
10 minutes. So actually, when I think about this, yes, we do have the backup packet that we put together for everybody, but I think our next step will be Ron and I getting together to refine this to make sure that we have captured and actually grouped accordingly if there are other things that were there in the packet that maybe we didn't in this conversation. And from there, engage the board yet again on, hey, this is what we perceive as the priority. Do we have general consensus around this? And then move into more of a strategic plan and developing the next steps around those specific buckets and priorities. Does that sound like a plan, team, or would we, are there other thoughts that you all would want to put around that in terms of next steps?
Sound like good next steps to me.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, and maybe even, you know, best steps. What are the best steps to I mean, sustainability is financial and it's our assets. And I mean, it's the big one, you know, whether it's financial sustainability or the assets that the park has, and just putting our arms around that and taking the best step to get toward that sustainability goal is kind of paramount.
Absolutely.
The other thing I would say is jumping on this grant that we just got and getting that project moving so it's visible as fast as possible, I think is really important, because that notability or people seeing that is going to be an opportunity to draw a lot of attention and momentum. So the important word, I think, is momentum. We need to generate it and keep it.
Totally agree.
I'm sorry.
Yep, me too.
Quick question on that.
Yes, sir, Kevin.
What is our process for designing and programming the new building?
So we are not there yet. We've got to sign the award documents first, but the EDA is going to be the driver behind the process. As Kim knows, they dictate pretty much everything, and you're following all the federal standards. That everything to the, you know, in the design process has to be approved by them. All procurement, all of that. So, where it's very early days, the mock check is not cold yet. So we're gonna be meeting with them as soon as possible, and that's as much as I've got at this point. But we got to get through the award documents, and then. From there, we'll start that procurement process. And in big terms, it's about going out initially and hiring the design team and potentially including that person as a construction manager. Kim and I have also talked about what help can we get in managing the grant. Is it something that maybe ARPC can help with? Because I know they do that. So, you know, trying to bring in as much help as we can, because the EDA is very specific on how things get done. But it is not it's not quick. There's nothing quick about it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ron, let me ask you a question. This is Tony. I appreciate that you were listening and your job is implementation, but any questions that you would ask to anything that's on here or that's been said that we want to follow up before we get off this call?
Yeah, you know, I try not to always jump into the tactics, and you're right. I do like to get eventually to an actionable plan, and I didn't expect that to happen today. So, but I want to make sure we keep on that path to getting to an actionable plan with clear priorities and always reflecting on the resources that we have available to act on the plan. In the past, we've had some long lists of things we wanted to get done. And everything was the priority to get done in year one. So I think we need to be realistic about what's possible. Make sure that, you know, we're paying attention to the staff time and other resources that we have, and how can we go prioritize the things we need to do. And then the second thing is, I've heard this, a number of folks bring it up. Sanjoy did, I think Ray did. I want to make sure we answer that one big question, because I haven't heard anybody say anything about what does this look like when we're out of property. What do we do? I mean, we're out of property. Are we just then, you know, hanging on to our buildings and using that to fund what we're doing and sticking to the incubator and maybe trying to do some other, promoting the research activities, that sort of thing. But, you know, what do we do? And Ray, I don't know if you had your question answered, but you bring that question up a lot.
I think Tony captures it a little bit down in the visions aspect of it. So the other thing I'd like to add, Madam Chair, is that as we go forward with this strategic planning process, I would encourage us to keep Tony very much involved in this. I think he's done a remarkable job to pull together something as dispersed as our conversation was over the last 2 hours into something very manageable. So I hope we can keep with him and let him keep with us.
Ray, is this your payback for me calling on you first?
What was that, Tony?
What was this Ray's payback for me calling on him first, I think?
I gotcha.
So I'll just test one more time. Anything that should be built out a little bit more that, you know, if we came back in a week or two, we will say, what the heck did we mean by this? And did we capture everything?
Tony, I got...
Yes, Christine.
Yeah, just a couple of things here. And I'm actually going to ask you at the end here to maybe put on your other hat for a half a second. I got a question for you, if you don't mind.
Okay.
But I'm going to start with where Ron left off. Yes, all items in year one we've had a big ask of you and your growing staff, but not that huge at this point in recent years. What does the future of our staffing look like? That should be part of this discussion. We have worked with a fantastic company with property management and our financials for years. Is there a point when we take some of that in-house and that expands our, I have no idea. I'm not sure if that's even necessary. It's just the first thought that came to mind. So additional staffing, making sure we can cover all our bases if we need that, should just always be on our minds to keep our talent moving or, you know, happy and with us and supported. I'll put it that way. The other thing is when I have seen other parks that kind of, and this is probably going into a longer conversation in the future because Ron, others probably have examples. There are spec buildings that are built to recruit companies until they grow to a certain size and then they move off and go build their own building. We change the height restrictions at Innovation Park to get more elevation so that we could accommodate more. Ron, I know the EDA, I mean, was tough to get to this point. The next phase, Kim's smiling right now, the next phase is gonna be extraordinary, right? The Planning Council, I will say and celebrate, they have gotten more contracts in the last year plus than they've ever seen. Their budget is extraordinary right now. They are pushing the limits on staff. That does not mean they wouldn't be a fantastic grants manager. I have an executive committee meeting next week. We could always talk to Rito about that. I think their expertise is phenomenal. But if we're going to be looking for other grants and other funding, maybe that's an area. I mean, I know, Michael, you've been doing a tremendous amount of this, looking for grants and other things, but that just may be something an area we want to look at with staffing or other support. So leaving that as my comments there, Tony, this is my brief question for you. I'm wondering if we need some guidance, if we need to hire a lobbying firm in the next 2 years to help guide us in discussions, not just with the legislature, but also with our departments. And we got a short time here, so I've got other thoughts we could talk about with this, but Tony, you work with the state, you see what the chamber does, you see what other communities do. Do you think that might be something we should at least explore, if you don't mind me putting you on the spot?
I don't mind being on the spot. I'll tell you that it's hard to answer this year because this next year is going to be one of the craziest that we will have experienced. I don't think that they have measured properly the hole that we're in.
and that's going to come out in the next few months. And if your lobbying activities is all about fundraising, then it's premature. But positioning for pursuing something is important. I think you've got your hands filled with some items, and telling your story is going to be a big part of whatever your future success is, whether it's locally, state. And I apologize for having such opinions, but I just, if anybody asked me today, start getting a new lobbyist, I would say it's not the time to do that. It's just start thinking about what's next so that you can achieve that.
You walked right into that. That's perfect. It might be strategic communications with a firm that understands how to communicate with the state as well. It might be that versus a lobbyist. I was absolutely thinking about laying the groundwork for 2022, not getting in the churn this year. But
you did lay that time out.
I'm sorry?
You did lay that time out before as a 2022 kind of item. But you've got other issues like, you know, changes that are coming up at the universities in leadership at FSU, for example, questions that are still unresolved at FAMU, how to leverage, you know, what a university looks like. We haven't even figured that role out. So, Ron, I saw you trying to interject, and you can save me from speaking up. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to add on to what Kristen was saying about staffing. And the perfect example of what can happen if we have the appropriate staffing is, it was nearly impossible, or at least a long slog, to move forward on the incubator with the staffing that we had. And it wasn't until we were able to hire Michael, who could focus on it, who had the expertise and could get into the weeds and get it done, that we were able to move the ball forward. So we can run into the same thing when you have other things you want us to do beyond the day-to-day management that soaks up so much time. We got to think about having the right staff, and it doesn't have to be, hired staff. It can be contracted or whatever, but we definitely have to have the right talent in the right places to execute on some of the things that need to get done.
Madam Chair, we're at the top of the hour, and what I'll do is turn it back to you. It sounds like I didn't break anything, fortunately.
You did not break it. It looks like you've become part of the team, so we value that. So we certainly appreciate your time. We think that you've done, or I personally want to speak on behalf of the board in thinking that you've done a stellar job in keeping us focused and also making sure that you captured and got us to a great spot to continue the work. Hopefully with your assistance, I'll follow up on that part as I keep building it in. Colleagues, thank you for participating today. Your contributions have been major, and we, Ron and I, will meet next week, as we often do, to roll around these items and make sure that we've captured appropriately and then get out next steps to everyone. But in the meantime, thank you for your support. Congratulations. Let's settle in on that. We know that there's much work to be done, but there is something to be said about celebrating the successes that we have achieved. It was a long time coming. You all be safe and have a great weekend. Bye now.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks.